is exalted, forever exalted, and I will praise his name. He is the Lord, forever his truth shall reign. Heaven and earth rejoice in his holy name. He is exalted, the King is exalted on high. He is exalted, the King is exalted on high. I will praise him, he is exalted forever.
Thank you, Dan. And to think we almost missed that. Now, would you please stand with me for the hearing and the reading of this morning's gospel message that comes to us from where? From Mark's gospel, the 9th chapter, verses 2 through 9. Hear these words. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up on a high mountain where they were alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Now, he did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and covered them, and a voice came from the cloud, "This is my son whom I love. Listen to him." And suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had been risen from the dead. And so ends this, the reading of his holy word, the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I invite you to be seated. And I invite you to pray along with me, please. God of grace, God of glory, God of promises and God of promises kept, You told the disciples that they would see the kingdom of God before they would die, and they certainly did. They saw you manifest for the glory, the Shekinah glory that you have. And so, Lord, we come before you this morning, and we thank you for the word that you have given to us in this gospel reading this morning. We thank you for the readings from Deuteronomy and the reading about Elijah from 2 Kings. We ask that you would take each of these readings and emblazon them upon our hearts, that we might remember them in a way that we might be enlightened, that we might be inspired, that we might want to go back to work, even though we may be on mountaintops sometimes. Help us to get back into the daily grind and do the things that you intend for us to do, that we might be the people of God. So may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight. For it is in Jesus' precious name we pray these things. Amen. Well, you ever notice when we have lectionary readings that we read as the practice in the church, you ever wonder where they start and stop the verses? I do. Today's reading is from Mark's Gospel, the 9th chapter, verses 2-9, and it starts this way in the second verse. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were alone. My question is, well, what happened before those 6 days? What was important about what had happened in the life of the disciples before those 6 days? Well, one of the things that took place was that Jesus was asking his apostles, who do people say that I am? Do you remember that? Who do people say that I am? And you know, some say Elijah. Some say that you're John the Baptist, come back from the dead. Yes, but who do you say that I am? And it was Peter that pipes up. Peter says, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. You're the Messiah. Blessed are you, Peter, for man has not revealed this to you, but your Father in heaven. And so Peter's, you know, he's pumped up. You know, he just said, you're the Christ. You're God in the flesh. You're the Son of God. And Jesus says, you're right, and blessed are you. And Peter's going to feel so great. You know, his chest is pumped out. I know I would be. My dad used to say when I was a young lad, he would say, never tell Anthony that he did something well, because his head would swell. You know, and then he just falls down because his head gets too big for his shoulders. And he said that one time when I was, Dan, I used to play classical piano. I studied from Mrs. Lavallier, and I took the classics. And my sister Paula and my sister Melinda and myself, we would go to piano lessons every week. Now, I have to confess, I didn't practice all the time. God kind of gifted me, and I could look at the music, and I could just kind of sit down and play it, pretty decently. And my sisters couldn't do that. They practiced hard, and they practiced hard. And so then I would go, and I would go for my lesson, and they'd give me the gold star, and they'd give me praise. And what I didn't realize was Mrs. Lavallier was turning up the heat, and she was giving me harder music to play, and separate runs on the left hand and runs on the right, and crossovers and all kinds of crazy things like that. And I did my normal practice, and all of a sudden, I didn't have such a good lesson. And that's when my dad says, you can't tell Anthony he's doing a good job because his head will swell. That's where Peter's at. Peter's head is swollen because Jesus himself had given him accolades. Attaboy, you're the one, you know what's going on. And momentarily, right after that, about 5 minutes, when Jesus is telling them about him having to go to the cross and that they themselves would have to take up their own crosses to follow him, see, there's a cost of discipleship. Peter's like, no, may it never be. No, you can't. And Jesus stops him in mid-tracks. And what's he say to him? Get thee behind me, Peter? No. Get thee behind me, Satan. Because your concern's about the things of this world and the things of man and not the things of God. Wow, what a come down, huh? How to come down from this high. And Jesus goes on to tell the apostles in the 9th chapter, verse 1. He says, look, truly I tell you, verily I say to you, that there are some among you that stand here which shall not taste of death until they see the kingdom of God appear. Wow. So They're standing there and they're giving this information. And now, 6 days later, they go up this mountaintop. They go up with Peter, James, and John, the sons of thunder. And they go up to this mountaintop for Jesus to pray. He takes them along. These are the inner circle, by the way, the disciples. And they're there with Jesus. And then suddenly, is what the scripture says, suddenly, he's transformed, he's transfigured before their eyes, like in an instant. Have you ever been in a place when all of a sudden something dawns on you, and it's like the scales are lifted from your eyes, and all of a sudden you realize this is what it is? And suddenly you have an understanding of what's going on. It's Valentine's Day today. And Dottie and I knew each other. We worked together. And we actually lunched together. And I think she was in love with me. But I didn't know that at the time. But we went to this one event. And suddenly I realized, oh my goodness, I'm in love with this girl. I didn't know that before that. Dottie kind of knew it, but I didn't know it. It was like the scales came from my eyes. Suddenly, I realized that she was the one for me. Today, the gospel message, the apostles suddenly realized, wow, this is Jesus. He's God's son. Now, Peter had just said that. But now they're seeing it with their own eyes. They're seeing this Shekinah glory. They can't actually look at it because it's too bright. And they see this image of Moses and this image of Elijah. Moses representing the law. Elijah representing all the prophets. We heard about Elijah today in the first reading. And you have to wonder what took place right before Elijah was showing Elisha the ropes. You know, we're talking about mountaintop experiences. And when you think about mountaintop experiences, and you look in the Old Testament, there's all kinds of mountaintop experiences. I think about Abraham, who went up on a mount, Mount Moriah, because God said to sacrifice his son, his only son. And Abraham believed God. And it was counted to him as righteousness. And he takes his son up this mount. His son says to him, Dad, we have the fire. We have the wood. But where is the sacrifice? God will provide it. God will provide it. And when they went up and he was following what God had told him to do, God recognized that he wasn't going to withhold his only son. And God did provide. And there was a ram that was stuck in the thicket. And there on Mount Moriah, God provided. And it was counted to righteousness for Abraham. Moses goes up on Mount Horeb. And remember we talked about that, where all the earth is shaking. And he's giving this Mount Sinai. And he's giving all of this stuff. And he comes down with the Ten Commandments, and he tells people, you need to follow these. Jesus goes up on this mount of transfiguration, Mount Hermon. And he's there before his disciples, and he's letting them know, this is God's glory. This is the kingdom of heaven. We were talking about Elijah. Elijah was on Mount, he was on Mount Carmel. Remember that? He had the big showdown with the prophets of Baal. And he had prepared this showdown so that he could show his God off, the God of Israel. And the gods that they worshipped weren't really gods at all. And he made fun of them when they couldn't get their God to react and light a flame for their sacrifices. And he would say to them, well, your God must be out in the loo. He must be out back. He must be out doing something. And finally, when it comes Elijah's turn, God shows up and all of a sudden he defeats all the prophets of Baal. Jezebel hears about this victory. She hears about all her prophets, and she testifies that she's going to get him killed. She's going to take his life. And all of a sudden, this powerful prophet of God is afraid for his own life, and he runs. And he runs to another mount. And he's listening for God. He says to God in his prayer to God that, "I am the only one left. I'm the only one left." God says to him, "No, I've reserved 7,000 prophets in my name. You're not the only one left." Elijah hears God speak to him in a still small voice. There was an earthquake that took place. There was a storm that took place. There was lightning. There was thunder. There was this. God wasn't in any of those things. But finally, God shows up to Elijah. And he says, "Elijah, what are you doing here?" And that's when Elijah says, "I'm the only one left. I'm done. I'm beat. No, you're not the only one left. I've reserved 7,000 people, prophets." And then he sends him from that place down the mountain to get back to work. And the work that he had to do was the work we just read about this morning. The work of bringing the message to all the other prophets. Remember, he had reserved all these prophets. We saw a company of 50. He went to Bethel. There was prophets there. It was prophets everywhere. And there was also Elijah, who was also a prophet under Elijah's tutelage. Now, Jesus is up on this Mount of Transfiguration. And he appears before them in his full glory. And there's Moses, there's Elijah, and then all of a sudden, they're gone. They're gone from Peter, James, and John's sight. And the only one left is Jesus, who actually is both the law and the prophets and God, all rolled up into one, the kingdom of heaven. And they see it, and they don't know what to say. You know, their eyes are open, and they see this miraculous thing that God had promised them through Jesus just 6 days before. They don't know what to say. And Peter's been burnt before. So he says, "Lord, it would be good for us to stay here and build you some booths, build us places, one for Elijah, one for Moses, and one for you." He didn't know what he was saying. He really didn't know what he was saying. Because they weren't to just remain there on that mountaintop. They weren't to remain there in that mountaintop experience. They needed to get back down, and they needed to go to work. But Jesus kept his promise that some standing there would not taste death until they saw the kingdom of heaven coming. And there it was before them, for their eyes to see, although it probably hurt. Suddenly, they came to an awareness that Jesus is God, that he incorporates the law and the prophets, and then these words from the Father in heaven, "This is my beloved Son, whom I love. Listen to him." I often say to parents all the time, when you say to your children, "Listen to me," what are you really saying? "Obey me. Obey me." And that's what Jesus is, that's what God, the Father, is saying about Jesus. Listen to him. Obey him. Follow his laws. Follow his decrees. And you will live. And you will live a better life than you could ever have imagined. Suddenly, the eyes became aware. And yet, they wanted to stay there. But Jesus knew they needed to get back down, and they needed to go to work. And that's the same with us today. We need to get back down, and we need to go to work. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, that is who you are, almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving. And you show us glimpses from time to time, aha moments in our lives, where we get it, where we understand that you really are God, and that you really have invested your life in us, and that you have really given us your Holy Spirit, so that we have everything we need, your law, your spirit, your words incorporated in you. We have everything we need, Lord. We don't have an excuse. So give us courage to go back down the mountainside and get to work. Help us to love one another as you have loved us. Help us to follow your laws and your decrees so that we might be your people, that you might be our God. For it's in Jesus' precious name we pray these things. Amen. Our final hymn this morning is...